Good morning. It's great to be here with you. I really want to encourage and challenge you today. And if you're new here, my name is Corey. I'm blessed to lead some of the youth ministry and be one of the youth directors. And I'm going to invite Kenny. Come on up, big guy. Kenny's one of our youth leaders. You can clap it up for him. He's going to pray for us as we get started. Hey, Troy, would you start the timer for me?
Lord God, thank you for such a beautiful day, Lord, and thank you for giving us our breath today, Lord, and we know we weren't promised today, God, and you were so merciful to give us another day, God, and we thank you for that, Lord, and thank you for the confidence you give us in our faith, and Lord, the courage that you give us, Lord, to come and seek you and worship you, God, and we worship you by reading your word. Lord, let us have our spiritual ears today and our spiritual hearts and minds to receive this message today. Lord, I pray that you give our brother Corey the confidence and courage to teach this message. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You can clap up for him one more time. Thank you, bud. Being involved in youth teaches a lot of different things, obviously to kids, but really to us as leaders too. And one of the things is just to listen better. And I'm always trying to work on that. And it's interesting because, you know, as you start to learn that, then you realize in youth ministry you need more icebreakers. And so you're listening, and then you're like, oh, I got to have more icebreakers. And then you start telling too many jokes. And for some reason, I have a 2-year-old now, so my jokes have gotten funnier to me and less funny to the people I'm telling them to. You know how that goes? There's a whole category of jokes, dad jokes, and I'm now in that stage of my life. You can pray for us. I always have in my back pocket, I can buy the kids pizza if it's too bad, you know. So I'm not buying you guys pizza, so I'll be careful. But anyways, as I've prayed for this gathering, Greg texted me and was like, hey, could you preach on the 11th? And I prayed about it, and I just was sitting there going, man, I got nothing. God, I don't know what you want me to say right here. And so I was praying, and a couple days in, I just felt like God was giving me this gentle, constant reminder that you are who God created you to be. And this morning, I get to be who God created me to be. And if you're here searching, we love that. If you're here every week, we love that. But you're here, and God has drawn you in, and he's pursuing you. Even in the messy stuff, even in the stuff that doesn't look like super Christian. And because you're here, I trust that God has a word for you. Our first point this morning is the fresh gospel. And Romans 5:8, if you want to turn there with me, or it's up on the screens, I believe. So it says, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I love that right here it says God shows, because the idea in the word shows is that it's ongoing and it's consistent and it's constant. So God shows his love for us. The Greek word here is sunistemi, and the literal meaning of this phrase would be to set together. And so that God sets together his love for us. But the interesting thing about this word when I was looking it up is it's said with a tone of approval. So God sets his love in motion and together for us, and he shows it, but he approves while he's doing that. He's happy, and it's while we were still sinners. And that's good news, because we are sinners. Emmett, my little 2-year-old, he recently, just this last week, he's transitioned into what we're calling his big boy bed, okay? And so, you know, he's no longer in a crib, kind of stuck in there, but he's just on the floor. He's got a little twin bed that we got him some new sheets and some new pillows and stuffed animals, and I'm in there talking to him about it, and I'm trying to convince him, this is so cool. You're such a big boy now, Emmett. I'm so proud of you. And we're talking, and my whole goal here is like, you're going to sleep in this all night. This is not where we're going to go wander around in the middle of the night. And so I'm working on him, and we're talking, and everything's going good. And he's just like so excited. And he's like a big boy pet. You know, and if you've ever heard Emmett talk, he kind of talks like an excited caveman. But anyways, yeah, you just have to say hi to him sometime. But so I'm feeling real good, and I'm sitting there, and I kind of look to the side because I think somebody had pulled into my house, and I kind of try to look out his window. And as I'm turning back, all of a sudden I feel this like whap right in my face. And I look over at Emmett, and all I do is I raise my eyebrows to him, and I'm thinking like, what the heck, man? And I'm looking at him, and he just goes, no hitting. And that's right, buddy, no hitting. I don't know where that came from, but would you tell Papa you're sorry? And, I'm sorry, Papa. And then I'm like, I forgive you, buddy. And then I'm like, okay, and we're staying in bed all night for sure now, right? You know, and so we're still working on this. But the thing, and the reason I tell you that is because even little Emmett, my sweet little guy, he's a little sinner sometimes. He really is, and it's not that I want Emmett to not have consequences and to be a good boy and all those things. What my real prayer for him is that Kenj and I, as his parents, could lay kindling around his little heart, and every day I pray for that boy. I pray for him every single day. I don't think we've ever missed a day praying for him, and we're not doing it so he's like morally good. We're doing it because someday I need him to get the fresh gospel, and I want him to be saved, and I want God to light a little fire in him, and that his sins would be forgiven. And if you walked in here feeling far from God, or if somebody drug you in here this morning, or if it was like everything in you just to show up, there's grace. And God is so good, and it's fresh. Right now, if everybody just take a deep breath with me, ready? 1, 2, 3. And let it out. Isn't that good? It's like a word for our hearts when the gospel is spoken to us. And the thing that has been sticking out to me right here is that it's not that just the day I got saved, the gospel spoke to me. It's that the gospel speaks. And so, yeah, it was for the day I got saved. And yeah, that was a cool day. And God did amazing things that day. But the gospel is fresh for me today. Kind of like God shows his love. And it didn't stop just the day I believed it in my heart. It's ongoing. Lamentations 3, 22 through 23 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The gospel is for all of us on the day we get saved, but it's also for all of us today and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day. It's fresh for us. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the gospel. Mark 10:45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. 2 Corinthians 8:9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. If you haven't put your faith in Jesus, go and dig into those verses. Let God speak to you through them and talk to him. And we would love to pray with you. If you don't know Jesus, we have lots of people who would love to lead you in a prayer of salvation. But if I can just tell you, you don't have to have us to do that. God already made a way. There's already been a sacrifice so that between you and him, there isn't a curtain. That curtain was torn, and you can sit back and just talk to God, and he saves. The other thing I wanted to talk about, the second thing I wanted to talk about is how does God speak? And that's our second one this morning. This is interesting to me because in today's culture, a lot of people are going to tell us a lot of things about what God's saying. There's many ways to heaven. There's many ways to hear the Lord. And it gets kind of crazy out there, but people fall into it and we believe some of this stuff. And what I think we really need at the end of the day is truth. John 17:17 says, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. And I believe real truth is only from God. And when God speaks truth, he speaks it in love. So the first one this morning, and I'm going to kind of blaze through these, but God speaks through his word. Number one. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Psalm 1:2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. If you want to hear from God and you're going, man, I'm just not hearing from God lately, I so challenge you, get in his word. And read and dwell and meditate and just listen. And let the Lord, let the word of God speak truth into your heart. And then, this is the hard part for a lot of us, when you do that and you finish doing that, it's not that, oh, I checked the box today or whatever, but when you do that, you can walk away and go, I heard from God. Like God spoke to me today and I know it because I was in his word. And the prayer is that we would fill up with it and we would enjoy it and that we would let it guide our lives and speak hope and truth and encouragement into our lives. He brings us to this place of faith because he speaks through his word. And the second point is prayer. God speaks in prayer. Jeremiah 29:12-13 says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. I love Jeremiah 29:11. I think a lot of us know that verse. It's on a lot of coffee mugs, a lot of good things out there, a lot of social media posts. And it's good to have plans for us. God has plans for us. And I love that promise there. But I think Jeremiah 29:12-13 would be a great thing to add on. Because it's not just that we're like sitting, twiddling our thumbs, being like, God has plans for me. It follows up with, it would, if we search, seek him, we'll find him. When we search with our whole heart. Because it's bigger than just plans for me. Anytime, like if you look in the Bible, I've been going through Nehemiah in my own time. And in Nehemiah, there's an interesting thing. Nehemiah gets this call. Well, he's actually a cupbearer for a Babylonian king. And this king could kill him just for asking permission to do what he believes God calls him to do. So he's sitting there and it's likely he prayed for a year before he left. And so he's praying and he's going, man, should I ask Artaxerxes if I can go? But I believe God's saying this to me. And the thing I love about Nehemiah's story is he finally gets that courage and God blesses him. And the king says yes. And he's going back to rebuild the wall. And all of a sudden, it's contagious. And that's how I know it's the Lord a lot of the times. Is when you're doing something, you feel like the Lord's doing something. All of a sudden, all these people are like, I'm in. I believe in this vision. I believe this is from the Lord. And it just moves a group of people. It's so beautiful. Psalm 17:6 has kind of a similar heartbeat. It says, I will call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. And that's like, I believe you're going to answer me. But then the second part is, incline your ear to me, hear my words. So there's this confidence, and then it's followed with this, like, please kind of situation. And that's how I feel like I pray a lot of the time. Number three, God speaks through worship. And if you've ever had like a moment in the middle of worship when nothing else kind of matters, it all just kind of fades away and you're sitting there just like, man, I have so much peace right now. In the midst of everything that's going on, God is good. And I know he's there. And I believe him and I'm trusting him right now. And sometimes for me, it's on that end. Sometimes I'm sitting there, it's like, okay, whatever you say right now, God, I'm going. I trust you. It's like if somebody like yelled out Africa in the middle of service, it's like, I'm in, let's go, we're going, because I just have this confidence that's not from me. It's in the midst of worship, God's speaking into my heart, and he's moving. And I believe God speaks through worship, but I also believe, because I'm not one who like sings up in front on a mic or anything like that, and you can be thankful for that, but I believe that we have to fight for worship. And that worship takes some sacrifice on our end. And if we aren't willing to fight a little bit to really believe that and sing that and be all in with that, I mean, there's some level, and God's gracious, and he meets us where we're at, but there's some level of we get what we put in worship. I really believe that. Psalm 100, verse 1 says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing." Charles Spurgeon once wrote, "Depend on it, my hearer, you will never go to heaven unless you are prepared to worship Jesus Christ as God." That's good stuff. Number 4, God speaks through creation. This verse kind of comforts me because, man, sometimes you look at all the stuff going on and all the craziness of life and you're going, man, how is this going to work? And how's it all going to work out? But Romans 1:20 says, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse." People are being drawn through all kinds of things towards God throughout their whole lives. Like we've all seen pictures of Everest, and it's so pretty and it's beautiful, and we're going, man. And I think something deep inside us is going, that's pointing to God. Or if you see a beautiful sunset, we have such great sunsets here, or crazy lightning storms in the middle of the night a couple nights ago. I thought somebody was like shining a light in my window. I was like, whoa, you know, I popped out of bed. I was like, who is it? You know, and I run out there and I'm looking and I'm like, wow, that's some crazy lightning. And then I woke Kenji up and we went and looked at lightning for a little bit. But all those things are pointing to Jesus. And I love mountains. I love getting to go hike in the mountains. I think it's like fresh air for me. It reminds me that like life is good. And mountains are a place for me to get some peace and joy in that. But something that's pretty amazing about that is mountains and the ocean and lightning and all these things point to God. But the right to speak the gospel is reserved for you. Like the mountains, there's people, like right now in the world, there's an estimated 1.5 to 2 billion people who don't know the name of Jesus. But they see the mountains, they see the sky, they see creation, but they don't know his name. Because God reserves that right for us. Like we get to share the gospel, we share who Jesus is, we have a voice for that. And that's a cool like task in our lives, you guys. I love that we are the ones who share the gospel. Number 5, God speaks through Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of the darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Jesus speaks and Jesus is alive. Not to mention like all the miracles he did in his time and all the miracles he's still doing. John 1:1-5 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The Word is Jesus, and only our God speaks. In the midst of everybody saying they're hearing from God, or they're hearing this, or maybe we need to empty out and meditate a little bit more, I hear that, and I'm like, man, that's in the Bible, meditate on his Word. But I don't think we're just supposed to stop when we meditate. I think we're supposed to fill back up with truth from God. And so they're kind of stealing from us anyway, and that's truth from God. Our last point this morning is made for more. One of my favorite movies is The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. And I don't know if you've seen it. I'm going to give you some spoilers, but it has been like 6 years. So if you haven't seen it yet, like, you know, I only give 5 years grace period. But anyways, in this movie, the main character, Walter, works at Life magazine. And they're getting ready to publish their final issue before they close down. And at the beginning of the movie, Walter is described as this person who has, the way they say it is, not having done anything noteworthy or mentionable. Nothing. And he lives in some fear and some anxiety. And during the movie, Walter begins to have these moments where he zones out and daydreams that he's doing something awesome. So he's like, walks into work one day and he's by the coffee machine and, you know, there's some cool posters and one of his coworkers standing by these posters and she's there and there one of the posters has a cool mountain on it and one of the posters has like an alpine climber on it and he's sitting there and all of a sudden he's just zoning out and it's all awkward. And he busts through the wall, swings in on his rope with his parka on. He's got snow all over his face and all his trekking gear. And he talks to the girl all smooth. He's just like, hey, you know, and she like moves over towards him. But it's not real. And it's this funny daydream. This guy's like, snap out of it, man. What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you here? Are you with us right now, Walter? And he's like, Walter's so weird, you know. And this guy's kind of a mean boss. And he's just like, what is going on? And then there's another time he's on the phone with, he's trying to fix something on this website, and he's sitting there talking to him, and he's up on a bridge on a picnic bench, and he's sitting there, and the guy's talking to him, so what's important about you, Walter? What this? And he's sitting there, and he goes, hold on a second. And he's daydreaming, and he starts running, he takes off, he jumps off this bridge, and he goes through the window, and then he saves this puppy. He comes running out the bottom with this puppy, and all these people come out, and he's like, the building blows up and starts on fire, and he's like, I thought I smelled gas, you know, but it's all just a daydream. And the story kind of grows and unfolds when their cover photo is missing, and it's Walter's responsibility to publish this cover photo. And so he's staring at the guy who's this adventure photographer who took the photo, and the photo starts going like this, like inviting him onto a real adventure. And so he goes out into this helicopter, and he jumps out of the helicopter into this freezing water to get on this boat because this guy knows what the photo was. And he swims up, and it's all real in the movie, you know. And then he's hiking through the Himalayas, and suddenly he gets a phone call, and he's like, hello. And they're like, what are you doing, Walter? And he's like, oh, I'm trekking through the Himalayas. And they're like, yeah, right, man. And he goes, okay, well, I'm going to lose service soon. I got to go by. And he hangs up, and he's really trekking through the Himalayas. And it's so good, right? It's like such a good movie. And then he's longboarding because this volcano is going to go off. It's this big old long stretch of road. These people over here have seen it. They're laughing with me. Anyways, he's going and he's longboarding because this volcano is going off. And in the movie, it's like all real. And he gets away and it's all safe. And I tell you guys about this because for him, in this movie, there's this freedom and joy and fulfillment with this adventure and journey he's on. And I believe that that's kind of part of what we're missing sometimes. You are made to be like fulfilled in this faith and adventure and real life in Jesus. Personally, this year, I've been more excited than ever. I've had some really cool things going on, and God's just blessed some pieces of my life, and it's been really awesome to see. But I also, more than ever, have been seeing this piece of the puzzle that somewhat holds me back. And that piece of the puzzle is just working through fear and anxiety. And I started to notice it when I was listening to somebody talk, and I said, well, how come you decided this over this? And they said, well, it was kind of the safer route. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm listening to them. And so I was just thinking and didn't think too much about it. And then I made a decision, and somebody was asking me why I made a decision, and I just like wanted to mimic the same thing that person said to me. It's like, you know, honestly, dude, it was safe. It was the safer decision for me. I don't know if that was the right decision. Maybe I was just being too safe. And as I kind of started looking into things, I realized a lot of decisions we make, or I make, are based on fear. It's like, well, that might not work out, and that's scary. And so I'm not a doctor. I'm not against people going to doctors for anxiety and fear. I believe God uses professionals that do amazing things, because life is real, and we need help. We need people to help us out. But I am against us forgetting that the God of the universe also speaks into these things. Like the God of the universe speaks into your fears. The God of the universe speaks into your anxiety, into your discouragements, into depression in your life. God speaks into that. And I want to encourage and invite you to not let fear and anxiety stop you from the plans God has for you. If you turn to 1 Peter 5:7, It says, cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. God cares. Like about your name. Whatever your name is, you can put your name. That's why we cast our anxiety on him. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You see, I don't believe the enemy sits at your side and just whispers in your ear like, God's not real, God's not real, God's not real, the Bible's not real, God's not real. I don't think that's the plan of the enemy. I think that, and hear me out on this, I'm actually going to give a little illustration if you want to come up, Kenny. I think that the enemy has a bigger plan than that, where he uses these things to say this. So here's what he does. He goes, what are you doing with your life? And you better look good while you're doing it. And while you're at it, make sure you buy the right clothes and hang out with the right friends so it'll make you look cool. Play the right sports. Wear the right makeup and figure out the correct body weight and go to the right college and pick the right major and get the right internship and get the right job. And then we meet somebody and we go on a date. And then as we're going on dates, we go on more dates. And then we got to meet their family. And then there's a spider and I don't know where he went. And then I got to public speak. And then I'm sweating about public speaking. And then we're going on more dates, more sweating. And we better impress their friends. And now, are we going to get married? Are we going to have kids? How many kids? We got to pay bills. Are we going to public school or are we going to private school? Are we getting life insurance, car insurance? Are we getting house insurance? How are we going to pay these bills? And pretty soon, okay, clap it up for Kenny. I think the enemy puts those things together. Thank you, Kenny. And they do become a big chain. They can become a chain of fear and anxiety. And what if I don't measure up? What if I'm not good enough? What if I don't succeed enough? And it's not that from the beginning the enemy was like, God's not real. The enemy's goal, I believe, is for you to forget about Jesus along the way. So as you try and figure out all those things in life, as we try and measure up to everybody's American dream, to everybody's opinion, to every dad's opinion, to every older generation's opinion, to everybody who's my peer's opinion, as I try and measure up to all these things, all of a sudden, when was the last time I read my Bible? When was the last time I heard God speak? And maybe rather than asking the question, where is God? Maybe I should ask the question for me in those moments, what is fresh in the gospel for me today? Like, what does the God of the universe want to say to me? And maybe, like, for me, sometimes when I really get to that point, and even when I was getting ready for these notes, I was just like, man, God, I'm gonna talk to Kenj about just going up to the cabin, taking a couple days to just pray and read your word and ask what you would have me share. So I kind of just snuck off for 2 days. And it's like, I got more done in 2 days than 3 weeks of trying to get all this stuff done. I was like, man, I need to go to the cabin day one, you know? And you guys can talk to my bosses about that, you know? Make me more productive. But I know we need to breathe and trust the Lord. Ephesians 1:18-19 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which God has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Deep down, life is this journey of faith and adventure. And it looks different for different people, but we are made for more. I think you know that. And in conclusion, I just want to share with you one more story. Kenji and I have been just kind of looking into taking some vacation time, and so she's been on all these vacation rental by owner sites, and she's like, we got to get these booked. And she's sending me, will you look through these three? And I kind of look at them, and then I decide I'm going to send her some back that are like $1,000 a night as a joke, you know? So I like send her this one, and she's like, that's awesome, because she doesn't know. And she's like, let's book it. And I'm just like, just kidding, you know. And then she's like, no, for real. And so then I'm sending her more of them, and I'm kind of being ridiculous about it. And we're laughing, and we really do need to get one of these booked, but for some reason, like two out of every 10 of the ones I look at are realistic. Okay. And so as I'm going through, I come across this thing called Airbnb Lux. And it's where everything about every property is 5 stars or more. So I thought it was an error when I came across this property that was $20,000 a night and sent it to Kenji. Okay. But then I found one that was $40,000 a night. And I was going, is this for real? And then I found one that was $49,000 per night. And then I found one that was $60,000 per night. And I'm like, okay, I'm looking at the whole globe now. And so I'm like, zoom out. Let's see the most expensive one of these there is. And I'm looking through the whole world, and I find this place. And this is true. You can go look it up. It's $142,678 per night. Yeah, look it up. Here we go. Secluded from the world, this private island in French Polynesia truly is a paradise on earth. Wonderfully endowed with amenities for wellness, play, celebration, this is a uniquely enchanting venue for momentous occasions and unforgettable reunions. I bet it is. Plunge into the luminous waves or soothe your body and mind in a 5-star spa facility. The talented staff includes a personal chef, a personal captain, activity coordinators, a personal doctor, a massage therapist, and more, while numerous deluxe services are also available to your entire group. That is unreal, but it's real. Like, it exists. And I can't believe it. It just, like, blows my mind. I started like doing some math, like, okay, if I wanted to stay here for 2 weeks, how many years would it take me? And when you get into the thousands of years, and then I was like, oh, I probably shouldn't give that many details from a stage. But anyways, it's a lot, and it's crazy, you guys. But it's real. And I love what Kenj responded, because at first she's like, let's look at these pictures, you know, and so we're like clicking through. But then her next response was like, so sweet, and something I love about her. She just says, isn't it crazy that God is better than that? And isn't it crazy that heaven is better than $142,000 per night? Amen? It is. And that is something real for us today. God and in heaven is going to be better than that. And God is that good. And the simplicity and joy of the gospel is that we don't have to live to try and get that. We don't have to find our fulfillment. Like, man, if someday I had enough money, then I would be happy. No, we already have that promise, and we already have that sacrifice from Jesus to give us that. And so we're already going to that island for all of eternity. And it's going to be amazing for us, you guys. And that is something real. Let's pray. God, you are so good. And I just pray that we would trust the simplicity of the gospel, that we would listen to you, that we would dig into your word and hear you speak to us, that we would worship. And as we worship, that we would have a moment with you, and that we would fight for those moments. God, I pray that we would be people of prayer, and that we would join with each other and pray real prayers and believe that you really hear those prayers. God, would you speak to us through Jesus? Would you take our heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh? And God, for anybody who's struggling with fear or an anxiety this morning, I pray that they would let those requests be made known to you, and that the peace of God that transcends all understanding would be with them. As we take communion, would you just join us? Would you give us a new word for the week? Thank you that we are who We're yours, God. And we're who you made us to be. God, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.